about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and I do mean welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. We've had one heck of a time getting on the air tonight. It seems like the gremlins have gotten into the sound system, both at Station 1 and Station 2. Those are probably the alphabet gremlins this evening. Anyway, we're doing this telephonically, so it ought to be very interesting. With all the chaos going on in the world, I suppose someone feels that they have to interfere with this message tonight. So have at it, boys. I hope you have fun. Anyway, we're going to cut straight to the chase, not go into any news per se as an introduction. We'll be discussing some of the strange goings-on on planet Earth, and with that, I'm going to bring on tonight's guest. I think we've tried six or seven times to get on the air, and we finally made it. Tonight's guest is a scientist and inventor, and we might put him to the task of inventing a system that can't be interfered with. He's also an author, a lecturer, and a teacher, and he's my regular Friday night guest and co-host and our resident science advisor, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show, and I do mean welcome.
Are we really on the air, Don?
We're really on the air now, Jim.
Well, I'm doing okay. How are you tonight?
Okay. You're working overtime tonight, so... we apologize for the late start, of course, to the listening audience and to you as well. As I said, the gremlins got in the sound system. It may be the swine flu may have something to do with it. I'm not sure. If you've read the reports, there have been hundreds reported dead, although I read that the World Health Organization says that there's only actually seven people that have died, and not 159, which has been reported. All the deaths are supposedly in Mexico. So this is an interesting thing here. With the corruption that's going on, they have to send out a few smoke screens to keep us preoccupied with trivial matters. What's your take on this swine flu thing?
Well, one thing I've noticed for sure, the mask business is making money hand over fist.
In Mexico, right? Mexico City?
Not only Mexico, all over the place. You know, my contacts in Japan are telling me that everybody and their uncle is wearing a mask over there. It's like a return of the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, or a perpetual Halloween party, right? You know, this bird flu, I don't know what you've heard about it, or I'm saying bird flu. It's actually, they're calling it the swine flu, but, it's been reported by various researchers, Dr. Len Horowitz, Dr. H. Hu Ott, Dr. Rebecca Carley, and some others, have said that this is a lab-created disease, supposedly missing from Fort Detrick, Maryland, and it's got components of, let's say, influenza A and influenza B. Now, they're calling this H1N1, and I don't know if B is H1N2 or N3. I guess it really doesn't matter. And then they're saying that there's a bird flu and the 1918 swine flu. How the media learns this, I don't know. How they come out with this so quickly. Obviously, they're being told what to say, even though this supposedly began around March 23rd. These infections occurred back in March. They're just reporting this about a month later. and it's rather suspicious. The individuals that supposedly got this, who were in Obama's entourage to Mexico City, came down with what they described as severe cases, although the students, the eight high school students that went to Mexico from New York, according to the media, got a less, or let's say a milder strain of this, and they're doing quite well. So where's the pandemic? I mean, there are 7 billion people on the earth, and, 7 people have died. Now I think more people have probably died in traffic accidents. We don't have an automobile pandemic, do we?
Well, not that I know of, but now that you mention it, that's maybe that's something they should consider.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I'm sure there are people dying from other diseases in greater numbers than this pandemic, but they seem to be pushing for people to get vaccinated. I heard the Ohio National Guard has gotten vaccinations, the swine flu vaccinations, and they're trying to compel people in certain areas to get these vaccinations.
Well, I tell you what, right there, that would concern me more than what's happening now, because how do you know what you're being injected with?
Well, exactly. That's the contention of all the people who have really researched this issue. They're saying that if you get the vaccine, you're going to come down with it. This is the time to say no. Just say no. And that's what everyone is recommending. You know, this cannot be forced upon us like this. This is getting way out of hand. I'm still reeling from the article I wrote about Obama's pictures. I haven't gotten over the fact that this guy is a total phony from one end to the other, and he's actually signing laws. You know, I mean, this is not my president. I don't know how you feel about this, but this charade that's he's involved in, and everyone around him is gotten ridiculous. It's insanity. I've said it before, and I'm underscoring it with bold font this week.
I agree with you. I wouldn't even express my true feelings on the radio. That's how bad they are.
Well, I won't put you on the spot to do that. What are you hearing in your neck of the woods? What are you hearing from the people you work with? I mean, you're working with a lot of professionals in some very
well. Most
areas.
Of the people that I've spoken to agree unilaterally that to have 4 different types of flu viruses somehow interchained is a totally unnatural phenomenon. And it has all the earmarks of a man-made, whatever you want to call it, a man-made effect.
And pathogen. Yeah.
And that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, with all of the pressures that are being applied by the rest of the world to the crew in Washington and elsewhere, where the crooks are manifesting on their last, hopefully there it'll be their last stand. It almost looks as if, you know, they are using this type of a tactic as a way of getting back at everybody else, and hopefully it won't have any effect. Of course, we don't know what else they may have up their sleeve, and that's a concern to some extent.
Some of the reports from around the world, from different media, from the different countries that are, have a vested interest in getting the monies that are owed them, and in spite of the massive embezzling that's going on, the World Court is reported to have come to the United States I presume that they're not just in Washington. They're probably in New York as well. There are independent and corroborating reports of a multiplicity of arrests taking place within various departments of the U.S. administration. From what I understand is everybody is on these lists. You're talking the president, the vice president, the secretary of state. They have located trillions of dollars that have been stolen by the Bush-Clinton cabal, and those funds were again attempted to have been played into the derivatives hedge fund markets and sort of ping-ponged overseas to some other bank, and they've found these transactions and blocked them. There have been numerous reports that the Pentagon has been trying to crack the codes of these accounts. And there were many banks, there are some independent banks, people that made investments along the lines of Nasara, expecting to get some kind of a return. And they're being told by the Pentagon and by the White House that they're not going to get that money, that Obama is going to get this money. Now, this has come from several sources, Jim, so... you know, I'm not at all implying that this is a rumor, per se, and the World Court gave a deadline of May the 1st. Now, here we are. On the West Coast, it's still May the 1st, but on the East Coast now, it's May the 2nd. So their time has run out, and they're threatening war. This is more than just a snafu. It's been an endless stream of lies and deception. Next week, you're going to get paid. Next Tuesday, the packages are going to arrive Wednesday. We're told they'll be there Friday, that they're in the Treasury, and they're shifting these, you know, this is an enormous amount of money we're talking about. Plane loads of money, or truckloads of money, and we're talking trillions, so it's, you can't imagine what that looks like on pallets if they're actually shipping these out in bills. And there are gold certificates that have been put up as collateral. Those have been stolen. And the word is that they've sent people from the World Court, some people from Switzerland. They're serving warrants on bankers and people in the government. And supposedly there's a very, very high-profile list of politicians that are involved in this as well. So many of these names we've mentioned on past shows, you and I, over the past couple of years. We've been talking about this for going on 3 years, and it's being covered by the mainstream media, but the figures are being bandied about as if they're everyday figures. They're even talking in the quadrillions now. This amount that I've been referring to, 1.5 quadrillion, 2 quadrillion, 2.2 quadrillion, has jumped up to $3.3 quadrillion. This is how much bogus money there is out there. This is debt that's racked up to the account of the American taxpayers. And, of course, people in other countries are suffering from the same thing, too. Any insight on your part?
No, I've been listening to similar reports. As a matter of fact, I have some sources that send me stuff directly, and they're pretty much all talking about the same thing that you've just mentioned. The biggest thing, of course, is that the banks, the big players that have been involved in this whole thing, they've had money all along. All they basically have done is stop the credit flow until the parties who actually the funds work out what they want to do with it, because the banks did not want to be left holding the bag. And yet, you know, that's a lot of nonsense, because you're not going to tell me that that these people are as innocent as driven snow, when they know full well that there are ill-gotten gains in their possessions, and yet that's the real crux of the issue is who is going to wind up owning this money. Well, the irony of it is, of course, it was all stolen, and it's in these banks under various different names, but they are off balance sheet. Mm-hmm. And with the new internationally accepted Basel 1, 2, and 3 systems, the idea is to get all the holdings of a bank to be placed on normal balance sheets that can be reviewed and thereby establish true banking transparency. Well, of course, the people who own this money or who claim they own it, that's the last thing they want, because this has been their breadbasket for the last century or so. And
yes.
So they're willing to put the entire world into a tailspin to protect their own assets, or what they perceive to be their own assets. And that's what's really going on. And
they've stolen the people's money.
Yeah, of course. And it's been done to every country in the world one way or another. The assets that were here, which were under the species of precious metals, they have been here for at least since World War II, and they would just be shuffled around in accordance with various large transactions. And then, they could just, one country could pay another without the gold actually moving. But that was all based on a trust and an understanding that the United States was the country which essentially held the reserve currency of the world. Now mm-hmm. we come to find that all that money is missing, even the base metals. The precious metals themselves are gone. So you've got various countries threatening war.
Yes. Now they tracked. They recently tracked a major gold heist, and evidently they recouped that. There was something like a $1.1 trillion attempt by the Bush-Clinton cabal to steal some money, and that was stopped. They were looking at now what they present to us is that they're and this was at the IMF meeting just a week or so ago in Washington. They were announcing that they were taking pledges of $500 billion from various countries, and they claimed that they were raised $300 billion. Now, these are pledges, and the promise of these monies and the actual payment of these monies are two different things. Why would somebody keep putting money into a system that is stealing the money? It's insane. And they've been doing this. Well, what we're finding out is that this has been conducted with communist China. We're not talking about Hong Kong, per se. We're talking about communists that are working hand-in-hand with the Bushes and the Clintons, and they're spreading rumors about certain individuals being arrested and the money having been released, or it's going to be released, and they're lying about who's holding it up. Ever since Obama found out about this, and he was bribed in the beginning, and the report was that he flatly turned down the bribe, but he's involved as much in the scandal as everyone else. Now, they have talked Brazil into putting up about $1 trillion to support these so-called funds that we're going to kickstart the world's economy. And it's just a ruse over and over again. And, you and I have reported about, the Bush clan going into Brazil, buying up sugar plantations, that they were going to convert, sugar to ethanol. And, Jeb Bush was down there, conducting this business. We reported the, mysterious little ranch, 98,840 acres that Bush had his daughter Jenna sign the papers on sometime in 2007. We've been reporting that it's set up as a military base I'm led to believe that there's an underground base there and facilities to house 16,000 soldiers. What would that be for? And then they got immunity from international prosecution for evil deeds, whatever you want to call it, for violating the law. They got immunity from the Paraguayan government. Now, it's known that many Nazis live in Paraguay now. They're not all living in Argentina like they did post-World War II. So, you know, what are these plans? They're sitting on the largest aquifer in South America, where that ranch is, right next to the Reverend Sun Young Moon's 1.4 million acres, which he owns. What the heck are these people planning? It's insane what's going on. The amount of corruption, the level of corruption, that these people are above the law, it's getting to the point where I think they've outplayed their own hand.
Well, I hope so, because, you know, it's about time for the rest of the world to just stomp on them like so many rotten grapes, and then clear the stage and let's get on with some decent living here. They're not doing anything but putting the entire world in jeopardy, and it makes no sense to me of how they expect the command of this. I mean, regardless of how much money they have at their disposal, their egos are so big they don't realize, maybe, but they're only a handful of creeps against the rest of the planet.
Yeah.
And I think only a matter of time before the rest of the planet realizes that.
Now, it's as though
the whole country included.
Yeah, it's as though this release of these flu bugs, whatever you want to call them, upon the public in various parts of the world is their way of blackmailing everyone, as if to say, well, look at what we can do, you know, if you come against us. You know, this is madness. And everyone's starting to see this. Certainly these foreign countries know what they're dealing with. Unfortunately, they're pushing things to the brink of war, because the ultimatum was that if these funds were not released by the May 1st, and I have no indication that they have been released from any of my sources, and there doesn't seem to be any information, you know, one way or the other, that they have been released. So there's sort of a stalemate going on, but the way it's been described is that let's say the enforcement agents that they brought with the world court and these international bankers are under a sort of obligation that if they do not get these desired results, that they are going to be considered complicit in this conspiracy. They're going to be held accountable for it as if they facilitated this. So they have to get this done, or the people, the very people that they sent to handle this problem, are going to be in the same hot water that those that are carrying out this massive theft are going to be in. And you know,
well, you know, according to what I've been hearing, there have already been skirmishes in Washington. Several federal agents have been shot and killed. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, had there been more at present, they would all have been killed, because the bitterness is running very, very high at this point. And I don't know if Obama realizes it or not, but there are forces from foreign countries that have a million trained assassins at their disposal. And mm-hmm. they've been infiltrating this country for a long time. They're already here. And if they get the go-ahead, this could turn into a very interesting mess. It might be war, but it wouldn't be war like they're used to.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be more like, you know, some kind of an Al Capone setup in old Chicago. But these people are going to push it until finally they make it so obvious that they're going to be taken out one way or another.
Yes. And the corruption, now, I got to hand it to Mario Cuomo, who is currently the Attorney General in New York. He has brought about charges through the Securities and Exchange Commission for violations of securities legislation against Aldus Equity of Dallas, Texas. There we have another Texas company where the Bushes are. And evidently, he's uncovering more of this corruption involving politicians, professional investors, and consultants who have raided some public pension funds in New York and some other states, giving millions of dollars of kickbacks as a payback for access to these funds. This has been going on in a lot of places. I've reported some specific incidents in Chicago. For example, McCook Metals and Longview Aluminum were taken over by Cheney and his band of thugs, and they went after Michael Lynch and stole his pension fund. He had like a $93 million pension fund, and a company worth, one of his companies was worth about $250 million. And they raided his pension fund, set him up, charged him with stealing it after they stole it, and then basically liquidated a quarter of a billion-dollar company for an amount around $138 million. And that transaction was actually overheard by a former FBI stenographer who was in the courthouse cafeteria taking notes of an attorney talking on a cell phone with a judge working the deal out. These types of things are going on left and right all over the country. You have the former, and I think he was in office for about 6 weeks, the head of Freddie Mac, the chief financial officer, committing suicide, shooting himself, and then hanging himself in his basement. That sounds like a suicide. I'm sure you'd agree. Then we have another.
Oh, absolutely.
We have another suicide now. Mark Levy, a Clinton-era aide, legal aide, supposedly committed suicide yesterday, the 30th of April, in his Washington law office. Now, why he did that, I don't know, but you know, it's evidently, you know, when you know these people and you do business with them, I guess your way out is suicide. You know, of course, I'm being facetious there. When they want to silence you, that's how they take you out. So,
there'll be another epidemic of suicides, you know, to go along with the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. And now the reports on this virus, by the way, the independent reports are that this is all hype and that it's not what it's supposed to be. And I'm inclined to go along with that anyway. You know, if anybody's going to get it, they're going to get it through a vaccine. And we've been telling people to avoid that at all costs. Just say no. You have a right. I mean, you're really, you know, you might as well jump off a cliff or a gangplank over the deepest part of the Pacific Ocean, because there's no guarantee that anyone is not going to get sick by getting the virus. And what they've described this is, you're better off taking your chances with a mask, like you said. So I'm giving you a synopsis of what's going on behind the scenes. But this is coming from various sources, too. They know it's a man-made virus. They know that they're lying with the media. The media is flat-out lying about what's going on. They're still blaming this on people that couldn't pay their mortgages. You know, the people that couldn't pay their mortgages, whether they couldn't, that's always been a problem. Those people have not been traditionally stealing money by the trillions. that's something.
And they're not necessarily equipped with the equipment and the knowledge to go and whip up a an infectious virus just to be retaliatory in their dealings. I think it's a little bit far-fetched.
Now, if this virus was coming up from Mexico, wouldn't it make all the sense in the world to shut down the borders and not let people come over? I mean, wouldn't that be the most logical thing to do?
Well, sure it would, but, you know, when have they ever behaved logically?
Of course, they started building a wall, as I recall, across the...
Yeah, well, that didn't
go
very far.
Yeah, well, they're more interested in building a highway, a 16-lane highway through Texas, all the way up to Canada. So, it's one farce after another. And it's about time people wake up to what's going on. Well, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how many people are still, numb to all this. They don't see any of it happening.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I really believe the way things are going, that we're down to the wire right now.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever is coming over the horizon, we are either going to make it or break it in this next round. So I really think that it's time for people to just wake up and realize what's being done to them. And do something about it, because if they refuse to do anything, either the bad guys will win, which would be a real calamity, or other forces in the world will take care of it for us, and then, you know, you have nothing to say about where you stand after that's done.
Yeah, it's going to end up being every man and woman and child for themselves. Really. Certainly the government's not going to protect you, because they're not right now. They're doing everything they can to destroy this country. There is absolutely no doubt about that. And you know, those that were expecting change, they're getting it, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, I always knew they'd get change, just not what they had in mind.
Yeah. And they flash these ridiculous polls on the media. 57% of the American people believe that Obama is doing a good job. What has he done? The guy, the guy goes into like a complete psychotic panic if his teleprompter shuts off. And that was a pretty funny thing that he found himself in the other day when his teleprompter started looping. Actually, it's been surmised that was done intentionally, just to show how incompetent he is.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, it also shows you that there are people very close to him already who are not on his side. He ought to really think about that.
Yeah, well, he's not on the people's side either. So, you know, and those people are obviously not on our side. So, you know, what's going on? It's as though everybody is just trying to, you know, get something for themselves at the cost of everyone else, and it doesn't matter as long as they get theirs. It's really, you know, it's kind of interesting watching it, because, you know, we're intended to be the recipients of all of this, and yet, you know, they're not involving us. We're just watching it go on, and they're, you know, we have these sayings: there's no honor among thieves. They're stealing from us, and stealing what they've stolen from us, from each other, and promising their cohorts in the international arena that they're going to give them their share of the loot. But that's not happening, and they're fed up with that. But you can't blame all of this on the American people. Every country in the world is going through this. The people are suffering from the same oppression in their own countries, or the same corruption. And many of them are unaware of exactly what's going on. That is, unless they're listening to shows like this and some other ones where this information is being brought out. Do I have all the facts? No, but I can certainly tell you there's a hell of a lot of stealing going on. So, I guess we could beat this to death, couldn't we?
Well, we could certainly beat it to death, but I don't think it's wasted time because, like you said earlier in the show, how many times have we spoken about this subject matter and tried to wake people up to what's coming? Well, now it's here. I mean, the next week ought to be a Jim Dandy.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's an interesting post that was on a website called 4winds10.com. And, of course, it's written out the words 4winds and the number 10.com. There was a posting from a gentleman that calls himself Casper. Okay, he's mm-hmm. a representative of the banking industry. And he has been reporting what's going on with these funds from his intelligence contacts and basically saying, you know, in the end, the good wins, the light wins over the darkness and over the evil. And they're making headway, but it's the same corruption every week, day to day. They're promised that these funds are going to be released, and then someone from the military or someone from the White House or someone from one of the banks or the Treasury has this dire warning and this promise, this evil promise that they're never going to get their hands on that money, that it belongs to someone else. And it's been repeatedly reported that Obama has claimed this money is his. Now tell me what he's done to earn that. Okay? Tell me what has he done, or any of these jackasses for that matter. You know, other than steal, they just think because they can steal it and it's there to steal that it's theirs. Okay? As Dr. Christopher Holmes said on this show a couple of weeks ago, these are psychopaths like he's never seen before. And they're pushing the button to the brink of war. I mean, this is going to result in something, and they certainly know who's behind it. Now, you and I and Dr. Kasim Khalil and some of our other guests in the third week of January were reporting false flag events. You recall that, Jim?
Oh, sure.
They were going to nuke 7 U.S. cities. We talked about that. And after our second broadcast, they removed some of those weapons. We know where the weapons were. They were in the cities that we disclosed. And this pandemic was started on March 23rd, although this came out a month later. Also, there was a story that came out around March 23rd. It was on the dailypaul.com. And it referenced a Russian takeout of a Chinese cargo ship that was carrying a nuclear weapon destined for the port of Seattle. Now, that would have been a communist plot. That would have been someone working in conjunction with the Bush-Clinton cabal, who were probably behind the other event, along with the Israelis, I'll say. It smacked of that kind of event. Someone was being blackmailed, and so they were going to blow up some cities to create a pretext for declaring martial law before the inauguration. They had attempted to bribe Obama, and Obama didn't accept the bribe. Obama probably figured, when I get in office, I'll just take it all for myself. Why be bribed? Why let them play? But they're still involved because they sided with the Chinese. George W. Bush recently went to China. They had been going to China 3 or 4 times with Paulson and Bernanke over the past couple of years. We've been reporting that religiously on this show. And in writing, we've been talking about that and explaining to people what's going on. And it was always the mention of $1 trillion going on. like it's pocket change. And they were plotting this with the communist Chinese, pitting them against the Russians, pitting them against even our own people. Because the idea is you know, just to get power, to steal as much money you can, and then whatever power comes with that. And they've been caught. A lot of this money was in foreign bank accounts, as we've described many times, in offshore accounts. And they located the accounts, and they arrested some people, because to be involved in that is corruption. And at least at an international level, they've been able to track a lot of the money down. Now, a lot of it's been hidden. They haven't found it yet. But on this posting on 4winds10.com, there was a reference to the stolen gold. There was a reference to the stolen money, and a reference to an organization and an individual that I reported about 2 years ago, Dr. Racy Dam and the Office of International Treasury Control, which is a little-known UN operation. And they supposedly own more real estate, more mortgages than anyone else in the world through the UN. How did that come about? How is it the UN somehow has invested or taken the ownership of property? We're talking about here in the States and in other parts of the world. How is that?
Well, it was a lot of that I know of was actually done in an attempt to collateralize an extension of the of our basic loans. And some of the things that were pledged, of all things, was all of our national park system. As a matter of fact, you don't see the little rangers with the cute little hats and the brown uniforms anymore. Now you see SWAT guys with automatic weapons and the black jumpsuits guarding the parks. And people don't get it. But everything has been sold. Everything has been given away in one way or another on account of this ridiculous debt system, which for which there is no remedy. It's just the fiat money system will expand without if it's allowed to do so.
Yeah, well, it's contracting. It's imploding. You know, it's imploding.
Well, that's because people are waking up and they're not playing the game anymore.
Yeah,
but there's been an enormous amount of damage.
Well, according to there's a gentleman that responded to Casper's report. I kind of drifted off, but I'm giving some of the background behind this because Casper's been reporting all these things. Christopher Story has been reporting these things, and there are a few intel operatives that are involved in leaking some of this information out to various websites and that. And you have to sort of sort through it so you can discern what's likely happening and what's just out there to misdirect people. The response that one gentleman who's affiliated with the Office of International Treasury Control, this is an organization that they say doesn't exist, and yet you can track banks and mortgage companies to it. Many of them are in Chicago, by the way. And it's run by a man that lives in Cambodia. His name is His Excellency, Dr. Racy Dam. Okay, and I brought his name up a couple of years ago, and I was told that I was barking up the wrong tree, that I didn't know what I was talking about, and this was a fictitious organization. And another individual comes out and actually describes, even says that they can trace the missing gold. If they find gold, in other words, they can test the DNA of the gold. And it's been reported by some in metaphysics. Brian Desbro talks about this his book Blueprint for a Better World. He talks about the fact that gold grows. It's like you could say it's like a plant in a sense. different from all other plants,
yeah,
of course. But it has DNA.
It can only do that before it's smelted. This what you're talking about now. I know a little bit about because it's one of the it's one of the hallmarks of alchemy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing that allows alchemy to work. Actually, is what you're talking about. Gold can be likened to a coral or a sponge, and when it's in its nascent state, it's alive.
Yeah.
And then once it's processed, the living part of it is no longer there, and the skeletal part of the sponge or the coral is actually the mineral matrix, which is then purified and smelted into gold bars.
Yeah. Now, according to this individual, they can still identify the gold. He says even if it's been smelted. I don't know if that's true, but he goes into quite an explanation into this whole fiasco and what's been going on. The interesting thing is that these funds and the treasury certificates and the gold certificates that back these funds collaterally are designed to get this money out to the peoples of the world. These funds are in principle available to everyone in the whole world. But the banking...
Their original purpose was to back various civil projects and to upgrade the standards of different countries around the world, especially third world countries.
Yeah, well, it's still their purpose. They've just been hijacked. They've been stolen. And all the while the stealing is going on, they've been writing these draconian laws to take people's rights away. And of course, many are bickering over, you know, the letter of the law. And you and I have talked about this, as well as many of my other guests over the past few years. We've talked about the fact that we're sovereign beings. And, through sleight of hand and a few tricky pieces of paper, they've taken us from birth. And sort of led us to the slaughterhouse, which is called life on planet Earth, to be slaves for them. And that's got to end, and we're witnessing actually, I think, the end of it. As dreary as it all sounds, we're actually, there's a positive side to this, that it's all collapsing on them. It's their invention. It's their playing field, and the game's running out. The grass has died. The ground crew is gone. The fans aren't coming to buy the tickets to watch the show anymore. You know, mirrored in their professional sports, the very thing that they're doing with the planet. Professional sports is a microcosm of it. It's a diversion that actually we pay for while they enrich themselves, and then they steal that money and do other things again. Always taxing us, always putting the burden on us. And yet, it has to, by its very nature, it has to collapse upon itself because it's all based out of an illusion.
Well, not only is it based on an illusion, but it's an illusion that's been perpetuated for thousands of years. I mean, if you compare what we have today to the situation during the Roman Empire, the number of parallels are astounding.
Mm-hmm.
You hit one right on the head with the sports issue. What's the difference between a $2 billion sports arena with a bunch of nitwits running around chasing a ball, and you know, and the Colosseum full of lions and Christians? Just keep the masses mesmerized.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same policy that's been in use forever.
Yeah, and they gave them uniforms, you know, and they advertise and publicize these people to get us to worship them as icons, as role models, and despite the fact that many of them show us every dysfunctional aspect of being a human being that one could see. You know, you got one in prison because he raised dogs to fight and kill each other. And, you know, you get a slap on the wrist, and already they're talking about bringing this individual back into the sport, and people tolerate this. People tolerate this hypocrisy to no end, as if because this guy can throw a piece of inflated pigskin that he deserves less a punishment than someone who's whether they have or not, someone who's been convicted of a lesser crime, and the guy that's in jail for raising these fighting dogs, these pit bulls, has done something quite a bit less than what the leaders are doing, and they get a slap on the wrist. How long do you think you would be in prison if you got caught stealing $50 billion, Jim? Do you ever think you'd see the light of day?
No, of course not.
And yet,
but, you have to have the right surname in order to get away with that kind of stuff.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes. Isn't it true? Yeah, you have to. It's a question of having the right surname, and it's about your marketability, and it's about whether or not you're willing to take the fall for somebody that considers themselves more important than you. It's always the same story. And yet people put up with this. They tolerate it like this is acceptable, or this is just how it has to be. You know, it's life on planet Earth. That's how it is, and we can't change it.
And well, certainly, as long as they have that attitude, it won't change.
Yeah. I don't see the scientists helping us out a whole lot here, and I'm not attacking science, because I'm sensitive to the fact that you're a scientist. I see there seems to be another rash of microbiologists being suicided recently,
another 80
or so.
Surely you are astute enough to realize that it's all coincidence.
Yes, of course. It is. And, it's not real difficult to connect the dots to any of this anymore. We've been connecting so many dots that I think we're running out of lead to connect them.
Well,
it's just all dots.
The interesting thing is, and all dots lead to Washington. That's the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Washington and New York, the central banks. Of course, they have secretly been trying to convert Bank of America into the central bank. And they have, I brought it up about a week ago, that their intention is to create 19 regional banks under which all the other banks will operate, all the other banks in the country. Now, what would be the reason for that other than another means of stealing money? Because the way they have it set up right now, certainly not working all that well. And there's, of course, this mystical number 19 that they have to have in there. So it's a never-ending play. You know, they write another chapter and just add it on there and, forget about what you saw. You sat through the first three acts, and this is the fourth act, and And after that's played out, they'll rate a fifth and a sixth and a seventh, and I'm just using the numbers arbitrarily here, you know.
Well, the one thing I have noticed, because I've made a bit of a study on this subject, the generation that set all this in motion was much more knowledgeable and much more crafty and much more thorough than each successive generation has been. For instance, the crew that the Warburgs and the Rockefellers and the ones who set the Federal Reserve in motion originally, they were very thorough. They were very subtle. They understood everything about what they were doing, and they orchestrated it beautifully. Nobody really picked up on it at the time. But it seems as if each successive generation is sloppier, less informed, more belligerent, more aggressive, more greedy. And so actually they wound up showing their hand. That's the thing that amazes me so much. They had the most perfect arrangement for milking the public that you could ever imagine. And if they had been shrewd enough to leave it low-key, it probably would have gone on indefinitely. But greed can't do that. It has to have more. And so it reached a point eventually where it escalated so much that people began to notice. And the more people noticed, then the more hysterical the controllers became. Until now, you've got a real interesting situation.
Yeah, the former chairman of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, recently made a comment that he doesn't have to work with the government. The government has to follow what they do. And he literally said that they're independent of, you know, the Federal Reserve is independent of the government. Now, we know that's the case, but you remember you referenced 1913. It wasn't until 1916 that we even found out that we had a Federal Reserve. Even though Congress, with the help of Nelson Aldrich, pulled that off on the heels of a Christmas break, it was pushed upon them, forced upon them that this they had to do this or the economy was going to collapse, much like they pulled off the bailout by threatening martial law. And we know that because a congressman from California came out and disclosed that they had threatened martial law. So you have to ask yourself, if it was so righteous and it was the right decision, why did they have to keep it secret for 3 years and some months?
You can apply the same logic to everything they do. If there's nothing to hide, then why all the secrecy? Why all the cloak and dagger stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Well, and
Colonel House summed it up. Almost 100 years ago, not quite. When he said that if the American public ever knew exactly what we were doing and what we had planned, they'd hang all of us.
Yeah, well, George H.W. Bush made that statement to his secretary, too. They'd hang us from the lamppost.
But he may yet get his wish.
Yeah, I don't know that they make lampposts sturdy enough to handle all of them.
No, it's okay. You can be much more generous than that. It's one per post.
Well, do we have enough lampposts? That's the issue.
Well, that remains to be seen, doesn't it?
You know, and tell me if that isn't a guilty conscience making the statement like the one Bush made. But he had no hesitation to go before the UN and lay out that it was a new world order. Was that back in 1991, I think? Somewhere around that time? Or maybe even before that?
Well, I remember very clearly listening to his father.
Well, that's what I'm talking
back around
about.
Back around the time of the Gulf War, making statements about a new world order.
Yeah, I was referring to H.W. Anyway, yeah.
I know you were.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these guys have been pushing for this agenda now for quite some time.
Well, and then we've had recent reports within the past couple of months. Sarkozy of France was upset because they had put him in a corner based on his position with the EU and that he was going to obtain some signatures from George W. Bush, which supposedly he did, and still they flaunted that in his face. He put pressure on Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, to let her know that she was not going to assist the Bushes in impeding these payments. And when I say Bushes, we have to include the Clintons because they're just as much involved in this. Anyway, and this is associated with Wantagate as well. All of this actually started with Wantagate. And everyone that said $27.5 trillion was an impossible amount of money to be stolen now has to lick their wounds as they contemplate $3.3 quadrillion. I mean, I can't imagine that amount of money, but there's a lot more than that in the world. We're just talking about what's been stolen.
Well, sure.
But it's enough to bring the world's economic system to its knees, and maybe in a sense that's a blessing.
Well, it's certainly getting the right kind of attention. Now, the real question is, what are we going to do about it?
Well, yeah, what do you think we should do about it, Jim?
Well, I think in our humble capacity, we're doing something about it right now. But, it's hard to say where it's going to go from here. Now, you mentioned, and I mentioned, too, for that matter, that the reports have actually suggested that, the war could result from this. The irony of it is, if you really stop and think about it, it's going to be a very different kind of war because there's no money to fight a major war. There's no money to fight World War II. Or anything like it again. So either there's going to be some kind of a nuclear scrimmage, God forbid, or else you're going to find out that these well-placed assassins who are just waiting for the go signal are going to start taking people out, like, in great numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a likely possibility. It's as likely as anything else.
Well, it's affordable. I mean, you have to start thinking like they think.
Mm-hmm.
If things are so tight and nobody has any money, there certainly isn't going to be a flotilla of 15,000 ships. But there could easily be, an influx of several thousand agents who don't even mind sacrificing themselves to achieve a certain objective.
Well, and then it boils down, now we start getting into the spiritual realm a bit, because the money, which we already know is an illusion, is used to buy things that represent what you can do with money, which is acquire physical objects, possessions, and somehow we feel disempowered if we can't acquire possessions. I think the main things are going to be food and water. Those are the things that are going to keep people alive. whether they have a CD player or a computer or a car or even certain clothes, golf clubs, whatever people feel they have to have. They're not going to be able to use those things. They're not going to have any use for them. They're going to be meaningless. They're not going to be able to sell them because there aren't going to be any people with any money to buy them. And they wouldn't need them anyway if they did buy them, because there's not going to be any way, any means through which to use them. It's going to boil down to discovering who we really are, isn't it? And our purpose for being here. Ultimately, that's what it's going to boil down to.
Well, in that case, there's going to be a lot of people doing introspective analysis, perhaps for the first time in their lives.
Yeah, or they're just going to succumb to whatever, you know, to the extent that they allow these things that are transpiring to affect them. And I've been reading the Ringing Cedars series. I started reading the first book. It's a very interesting book. I don't know if you've heard of that.
What is it? I have not heard of it.
Yeah, it's a series of books, 10 books, written by Vladimir Migre is his name. And he is an entrepreneur that went up to the Siberian Tigra area into mm-hmm. the forest, met some people who were quite old and very healthy, very vibrant. And they're basically living in the forest. And Migre met this woman whose name is Anastasia. And she's living in the forest. She doesn't live in a house. Now, most people would think, oh, my God, you know, I couldn't live like that. That's primitive. She's living in an area of Siberia. Anyone that knows Siberia knows it gets very, very cold in the winter. I mean, she doesn't have to wear heavy clothes. She doesn't have to live in a house. Everything she needs is provided for her. And it's amazing the abilities she has, the sensitivity she has, and what she understands about life on this planet, the purpose of life. It's amazing. And everyone who's read this series has become extremely inspired by it. Because
what's
she lays
the name
it
of
all.
The book?
Okay, it's Anastasia, and it's part of what's called the Ringing Cedars series. There are these cedar trees, which are also alternatively known as Siberian pines. They grow to be about 500 to 550 years old. These trees collect, let's say, cosmic energy throughout the course of their life. They store this energy, and there comes a point where they have to be cut down. And when they're ready to be cut down, they start emanating a ringing sound. And those that know this sound and understand what these trees are all about know that they can, they cut the tree down, and then they can cut it into smaller pieces, even making pendants around the neck. And after a person wears this pendant for a time or holds a piece of the wood, rubs it in between their fingers, they receive this energy. Migre described meeting the grandfather and I think the great-grandfather of Anastasia, who was born in 1969. The grandfather was 119 years old and looked like a 75-year-old man and was very wise, very vibrant, very healthy. And this is really something for anyone in the listening audience to read this series of books. I'm just on book one, and I'm amazed at what I'm reading. And yet I know in metaphysics that all these things are possible.
And where do you get these books?
Well, you can get them from, you can go to the website, I think it's theringingcedars.com, or you can Google the word Anastasia, comma, the Ringing Cedars, and it'll take you to that website. You'll find it. You can order the books separately, you can order them in groups, larger quantities, or you can order the whole series together. And people are describing how these books are changing their lives, the information within there. And that's really that's what we need to be thinking. We need to be thinking along those lines. Totally outside of the box stuff, too, mind you.
So, well, it certainly sounds like that.
Yeah, very inspirational, and to think that this book came out of an event that transpired several years. This man was going up into that area, to do business as an entrepreneur, and decided he was going to write books about what he was learning about these people and about these trees. So. We're out of time, Jim. little did I think I'd be talking about cedar trees in Siberia as as the show closes. But I appreciate you hanging in there through all our technical difficulties for the first 40 minutes tonight, and your input on tonight's topic. You have any closing remarks you want to make before we say goodnight?
No, not really. I'm so played out when it comes to trying to sound the alarm here. But I'll tell you what, I think you made the best closing comment. Anything that is of a spiritual nature or associated with a spiritual process that can upgrade humanity is something everyone should be interested in. I don't know about the rest of the listeners, but me personally, I would like to get a hold of that set of books. So you probably will get a call from me either tomorrow or later in the weekend so I can find out the details, I assure you.
Yeah. Well, the book was recommended to me about a month or so ago by my publisher and editor at the Idaho Observer. Or both of them, actually, Ingrid Castle and Don Harkins. Ingrid had been reading these, and I talked to some of my listening audience, too, that have been reading them, and I'd heard about them. It's just I'd been so busy with research. And I finally got around to reading the first book, and it's amazing. You're really going to like what you read.
And, are these hardcover books, or... Or are they more like pamphlets, or what are they?
Well, no, they're... Well, the book I have is a soft cover book, but it's as close to a hard cover book as I've ever seen in a soft cover. It's got a very, very neat, enviro-friendly cover to it, with a very smooth finish, and a fold-in flap on the inside, as if it's, the cover to an outer, like the slip cover to a hardbound book, but it's a softbound book, but very, very well made and high quality. Everything about it, very high quality. The book I'm reading has been translated into English from Russian, and in fact, Anastasia predicted how many books were going to be sold. While she was sharing this information with Vladimir Megre, and he was astounded that the book sold as many. I think he started off with 1/4 of a million copies, and they sold out in a matter of days. and it's published in many different languages. It's all over the world. It's sold over 10 million copies. And it's a set of 10 books as well. I mean, you know, you can get them one at a time, or you can order the whole set, or you can get, bulk quantities at discount rates to give them as gifts. And it's coded, like some books are, with truth. There's a code in, not just in the Russian, but even in the English version. That it awakens an aspect of us, you know, spiritually. It gets to the heart center, let's put it that way. And that's something that you and I had brought up on many shows, and it certainly deals with that aspect. Reveals a lot of truth, too.
Well, I will definitely look into that. I appreciate you alerting me to it.
Okay, well, I'm going to say goodnight, Jim, and I'm going to wish you a great weekend. Look forward to your next show and all the other shows you're going to be doing in the month of May here on Evident Footprints. And time to say goodnight to our listening audience as well. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Special thanks go to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound. Thanks for hanging in there with the problems tonight, Seth. And many, many thanks to those of you who hung in there with us until we got ourselves situated during the broadcast tonight. We apologize for the delay and hope that it will never happen again. However, we can't promise that. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, everyone, and have a good night.